When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Is Quinn Ewers coming back to Texas after this year? Is this his final home game that they are playing this weekend?
Did you say hope not?
I hope he's not coming back.
Well, now Steve Sarkisian was asked if Quinn would be playing his final home game at the DKR, as they call it, this Saturday, and he goes, no idea. He said, no idea. Very short, very sweet. No idea. Quinn asked the same question. He was like, who knows? I'm just trying to get through this week. And now, obviously, if Texas loses in the SEC championship game and doesn't get a bye, they'll probably most likely be a home team in the first round of the playoffs, obviously, unless they're beyond the ninth seed. So there's that. So it could, may not be his home game, but there is the opportunity that Quinn does decide, hey, I'm not going to be in the first round, or maybe the second round, or who knows where I'm going to get picked. Maybe I will come back to college for another year. In which case, what does Sark and what does Texas say?
Mm.
Do they just move on and go to Arch? And risk losing Arch. I'll tell you this. Arch may stick around for 1 year, which he did last year. I don't see him sticking around again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not up to Quinn. Like I think Texas would tell him, go to the NFL or transfer. Like, because Arch is starting.
Pretty ungrateful for the number three team in the country. Pretty ungrateful.
Going to the Final Four last year.
Yeah. Pretty ungrateful.
A number three team in the country where Quinn didn't do a whole hell of a lot to help you when you lost that number one seed and has not played great since. He's been fine. He's been good. But this is the plan. This has always been the plan. If he's reversing course on it, then there. I think.
But what can change the plan? What if he balls out in the playoff and they win the national title and wants to come back?
I don't think it matters. I think it's.
Don't you think that's messed up?
No. I think
there's no. There's no point in earning it when. Now, I don't think all this is going to happen. I wanted them to start Arch Manning. I thought they should have started Quinn, but I knew Quinn Ewers was limited, and he's not this first-round stud quarterback. So I would move off of it. But something does have to be said for if you ball out, win the national championship, to have your spot kept.
I think they would say,
especially when the other guy, when he has played, limited, not blown anyone away. No one has been like, oh my God, how are you holding that back in Arch?
I think there's actually has been more of that thought recently.
No, well, I've hosted this radio show with you, so unless I have dementia today, you and others have been relaying. You've been relaying from others. People are like, that impressed with Arch.
I don't want Arch right now. I do want Arch to start next year. Arch right now is not ready to play to me, but you are seeing more Texas fans, I think. Not me. I'm saying other Texas fans and people who are supporters of the program who are saying,
yeah,
look, Arch is willing to do things downfield that Quinn's just not. Like, you're hearing consistently from Texas supporters, like, Quinn's not pushing the ball downfield enough. Like, this needs 79th. To click into place. And if it's not, then we've got an issue.
Of the 79 quarterbacks in Power 5, he is 79th in average depth of target. And you're talking about Arch with the freshman, technically a freshman still. You see the same thing with the guy at Tennessee. I mean, you see the flashes, but you're still a freshman.
Yeah.
You know, it's still difficult to go on the road. Like, if Arch were to go on the road at A&M, his first true road game, it's a tough spot to be in. That's a very tough spot to be in.
Arch is about where Quinn was this time in Quinn's career.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the idea is you're hoping that you can get more of that upside. Arch is more fearless pushing the ball downfield. Arch also has zero pocket awareness. I've seen Arch look like he's gotten hit so hard so many different times just from no awareness of the rush coming that it's looked like, I don't know that he's going to get up. He does. He bounces back. He gets up. But when you first see him get hit, it's like, my gosh, that could have ended his season right there, how hard he got hit.
Longhorn fans, is there any way you want Quinn back if he wins the Natty, gets to the national championship, or is it Arch moving forward? I would personally vote Arch. I was just wondering, you know, what would Quinn have to do? What could he do for you to be like, no, he deserves, that's his spot still with the way we finished and thrived in this season?
All right, it is the college football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. The customer is always right, except to Brent Venables. It's been nice knowing you, man. And I don't mean that in a good way. It's you gone, okay? So here's the backstory here. In college football, you have to basically kiss these kids' butts to get them to come to your school.
Yep.
They are the ones with all the power. Now, you could sit here and say, I'm going to revoke your scholarship opportunity. Yeah, that's fine. You can do that. But that's the only power that a college football coach has. Well, there's a five-star recruit.
Like, I don't know this. I haven't talked to my godson about it. I don't want to get up in his business too much. He's at Vanderbilt, and he's not playing as much as I thought he was going to play. But they've had an excellent, fantastic season. Well, the tight end one there could be drafted pretty high. I think it's Eli Sowers. Bobby can have more on that later on. But someone in his position, a lot of kids in his position, would go to the coach and be like, I don't care that we're winning. You promised me. I came here because you promised me playing time. I didn't get the playing time. I got my friends hounding me. I got my family hounding me. I know for a fact my godson's family is not hounding or putting any pressure on him. They're just happy to be living in this SEC dream with the amazing education. But I'm out. You're going to guarantee me more money. You're going to guarantee me more playing time, or I'm out of here, and everyone has the ability to do that.
They have the ability to do it.
Whereas back in the day, it's like, all right, I'm paying my dues. I'm a freshman. I'm still keeping my redshirt year intact. We're winning. I understand why I'm not leaping past this guy on the depth chart because we're beating Alabama.
Right.
So I'll get my chance next year. No. I got to get mine.
I know. And that's because they want to maximize their NIL. So Michael Fasusi is a top 20 player in the upcoming cycle. And this is, he is a five-star player. And Brent Venables called him out. He made a pledge to play for Oklahoma back in August. But that does not mean that he has shut down his recruiting. He has taken a trip to Texas, and he has taken a trip to College Station for the Texas versus Texas A&M game. All right, so he's going to go to both of those games. Brent Venables was asked about this, and he says he has a no-visit policy for commits. If you verbally commit, he says, I don't care if you verbally commit. If you don't want to verbally commit yet, you don't have to. You can keep your recruitment open. But the moment you verbally commit, and he learned this from Dabo, and Dabo's done a great job recruiting historically. Now, maybe not in the NIL era, but for the most part, he has. And Dabo has a no-visit policy. You're not committed if you're visiting other places. That was what Dabo's mantra always has been. But Brent Venables is calling this kid out, and this is not going to end well for him. Hmm. Like, I get it. You want to set your roster. You know, you're trying to figure out who you need and what you need. And the school, you have a right to take his spot and give it to someone else. This seems like a really dumb thing to say for a coach who may already be on the hot seat, that you're going to call out your only five-star recruit that you have, a top 20 player that you desperately need, and you're going to say, hey, look, I thought we had a no-visit, but you ain't committed to my program if you're taking business to somebody else.
Feels very Dabo-ish.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
You're not going to acquiesce and alter to the system and the way things are? Okay.
Look, I'm not going to be upset by this, clearly. If he wants to open things up. We talked about this commitment when it happened back in August because it was, as well as Sark has recruited and as well as Texas has recruited, the top prospects in Texas in the 25 class were not necessarily flocking to the Longhorns, even with some of the excitement around the program and stuff like that. They were still... I think they had out of the top 15 in the state of Texas on 24/7, they had two of them committed to Texas, and then there were a bunch of others that were Baylor and Oklahoma and LSU and were coming in, and you know, this was one that they had lost out on to Oklahoma. So, you know, it's good for Texas, obviously. I'll take it. But this is also just the reality of recruiting in this day and age. And if Brent can't, you know, adjust to that like Dabo couldn't, then he's going to have the same problems.
Do we think Venables is out? And what's that money look like?
I think he gets one more year. I think he gets one more year.
Yeah, I don't know that he's out yet, but it's getting close to crunch time. The buyout, let's see here. As of December 1st, 2024, Venables' buyout from the University of Oklahoma would be $44.8 million.
Oh, yeah, he's getting another year. Huh. College football kegger here on 105 through the fan. You want pizza or you want Joey Galloway?
Let's go. Oh, it's hard to go away from pizza.
All right, let's do pizza. All right, this is at a UNLV game at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas.
Vegas and these concessions, the opposite of Atlanta.
Yes, it is the opposite of Atlanta. Bill Krakenberger, who is a fake professional name? Gambler.
Yeah. Krakenberger.
He's a professional gambler, and he posted this receipt from a suite at Allegiant Stadium. You see these prices already?
I know they're exorbitant.
Bobby?
Yes, I did see them.
So the receipt for the pizza, it's a large pepperoni pizza. Looks good. Looks also a little crispy, a little burnt, a little dark on the cheese.
Which nowadays, by the way, in the real world is about $25.
$25.
A large pepperoni. $25 still.
Yeah, I mean, Little Caesars, the Little Caesars, like, carry them out. That's even shot up, but it's still, like, I think now it's like $8 for one of those. It used to be
fast,
$5.
Hot and ready's or whatever.
Yep.
And then a large bucket of chicken tenders.
Large bucket?
A large bucket of chicken tenders. The pizza was $300.
Come on, no.
The chicken tenders were $190. The tax was $50.
There can't be a $300 pizza.
Well, it's like club prices, man. And then the administrative charge on this, which does not go to the employees, was $112. It was $653. And 18 cents.
I don't believe this.
For the pizza and the chicken tenders. I mean, I didn't believe it. And then the Action Network picked it up.
It's not possible. No one could list a three. It had to have caviar on it or something.
Gold flakes.
It says pizza rock. One pizza rock. I don't know what that rock. What's a rock?
Come pizza? With a diamond ring. Come with a. It had to be a bottle of champagne with it. Had to.
I mean, for $300, that might be a different rock. But I will say that in terms of the price that goes with that, it does make me wonder. Is it like the, because it is club level prices? Is it similar to, because
the Raiders suite or something had crazy things like this?
The nicest hotels I've stayed at, generally, I feel like, charge me the most for things that I get for free at cheaper hotels. Like Wi-Fi at, I can't remember which hotel it was, but the nicest hotel I ever stayed at, they charged you $20 just to have Wi-Fi in your room. And they obviously charge for the parking and the overnight parking's this much. So it makes me wonder, is it just one of those things where they say, the nicer it is, the richer these people are, and they don't care, they'll pay for it.
From the 214, in 2009, a large pizza in a suite at AT&T was $80. And that was 15 years ago.
It can't be. I'm tempted to call the stadium today to ask.
That's a good idea.
I got to hear it for myself.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because that's super expensive. That's a borderline.
That's criminal.
It is criminal. You're price gouging. Now, they do the same thing with bottle service at a club.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what Vegas is trying to emulate here. I don't know. But this is a UNLV. This isn't even a Raider game.
Yeah.
This is a UNLV game. I mean, you're welcoming in Utah State to town. You expect somebody to pay $300 for pizza? I don't know. That just seems nuts to me. Real quick, let's do this. This is Joey Galloway. This is on the Selection Show the other day. And, you know, the more I think about this, I'm like, all right, is Joey doing a bit here? or because you never see athletes talk like this. He thinks Indiana should sit their quarterback against Ohio State this week.
Can't go any higher.
They are behind a one loss
team.
They
have a chance to go on the road and prove what they are. Now, honestly, if we believe in what our metrics are saying, if I'm Indiana, I don't know if I'm playing Rourke against Ohio State. We've seen what happened to Florida State last year, Jordan Travis. What could keep Indiana out of this? Getting their quarterback hurt. We've seen it happen to Florida State last year. Having not played anybody.
Or losing by 30.
If you look at 3, 4, and 5, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana, they literally have played nobody between all three teams. The toughest team in that is Vandy. So a lot of this that we're looking at is eye test.
So basically what he's saying is Indiana should shut down their quarterback for this game. Don't risk getting them hurt. Take the loss, which you're going to get anyway. Give plausible deniability to the committee that you would have been competitive if you had your quarterback. And then still make the playoffs, because if he gets hurt in this game, they're probably going to be out.
I don't hate the loophole. I don't hate the argument.
It's not checkers.
It's not a bad argument, especially when you consider. I mean, Joey was an Ohio State guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was Ohio State. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty brilliant to get it from him, unless he's just, you're saying you're scared as an Ohio State alum.
So would not hurt them that much to lose this game?
Oh, I think if he plays and they lose this game by 30, I do think that there's a real chance that they drop out of the rankings.
Yeah.
Because they haven't played it. They haven't played a top 100 schedule.
What's worse, this or Lane Kiffin not wanting to play in the SEC championship game?
This would be worse.
If you could prove it.
If you could prove it, that's right.
College Football Kegger with Ralph James here on DFW Sports Station. We have the are the Dallas Cowboys the new Commanders? Is Jerry Jones the new Dan Snyder? One of my boys and special teams great, Brian Mitchell from our sister station in D.C. joins us along with Justin Timberlake.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tickets after this. We are commercial free. Thank you, Chris Strong, in for Pepe, Sean, RJ, and Bobby on the home of the Dallas Cowboys and the home of the play-by-play. Babe Laufenberg, color analyst at 840. But let's preview with my guy from The Fan in D.C., special teams great, also running back for Washington, Brian Mitchell, always spitting straight fire, joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, B-Mitch. How are you, man?
What's up, Sean? How you doing, bud?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us. Does it feel like we have switch spots now for the next 5 years, that the Dallas Cowboys are the Redskins, the Commanders, and now you guys are the stable team and franchise moving forward? Does it feel real and legit?
Well, it seems like that's just something that's happening this year, but you know what, man? When you look in the NFC, you never know. Yeah. You know, that's rivalries, and those teams are going to play each other tough. Right now, the ownership seems more stable. I mean, Jerry has been successful, but he's always been a meddler, you know. So the whole thing about it is if he keeps doing what he's doing and acting as he acts, you know, it's going to always give everybody else a chance.
Do you think it's fair to put Jerry and Dan Snyder in the same sentence?
Well, Dan was he looked up to Jerry, so everything he did, he learned from Jerry. So he just didn't have that success. You know, Jerry had won Super Bowls and things like that, played football in college and things, but Dan never played no football any damn where. And he tried to be the big baller when he wasn't. And when you try to be something you're not, you're going to make way more mistakes. Jared makes his mistakes, but he also has a football acumen But he lacks a metal too much, and I think that's a plus for everybody else dealing with him in the East.
B. Mitch, we've heard a lot of glowing reviews, obviously, of what Dan Quinn's done for culture and everything else like that in Washington. And then there's also been a lot of high, you know, praise for Cliff Kingsbury and how he's helped bring Jaden Daniels along. Who do you think has been the bigger reason for this start? The changes Quinn has made to culture overall, or is it the stuff that Cliff Kingsbury's been able to do on offense?
Well, I think it's what Dan has done, you know, because all those different coaches to come in, and you got a lot of coaches, coaches with head coaching experience and things like that. Ken Norton has been around for a long time. Jason Simmons is an up and coming guy in the passing game on defense. He got all those guys to come here, as I was told by Adam Peters. Then when you look at the players that he brought in, the veteran players that he brought over here, they've made a big deal. So I have to lean towards our Dan. You know, I think Cliff has done a great job with Jaden. But, you know, a lot of that is Jaden as well. You know, people like to always give somebody else the credit. I always say it's a combination. You know, Jaden Daniels is a worker. You know, he's a guy that's unlike – you all know. You see rookies coming in there every year. Some rookies come in and they think they own the world. Some rookies don't want to hear a damn thing from anybody. And then you find that one guy every blue moon that comes in and wants to learn, wants to work, wants to prove himself. And that's what Jaden Daniels is.
Brian Mitchell joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline from D.C. Does it feel like, you always say the BS, does it feel like the typical BS that has plagued that franchise is gone with the new culture, with the new ownership as well? You mentioned Peters, Quinn, and the new ownership. Can you feel a culture change? And if so, how?
I felt it as soon as they purchased the team, to be honest with you. I think it was just a heavy load lifted. You know, this is one thing you can learn about things. When you look at people and people look at an owner or you look at a father in a home and a boss of any company out there, you watch the people that work for them, they act exactly like the owner, okay? And that's how it was here for a long time. People in sales, people in media, everybody acting just like that because that's what he presented. Now you walk up to the same people that were there 2-3 years ago, and they are totally different people because they're taking on the mantra of what Josh Harris and his crew pushes. And, you know, I was leaving, Cincinnati one day, me and Santana Moss, and the young lady works for security. Like, oh, you can ride in the car with us. Nobody from Dan would have ever asked us to get in the car with them to go to the airport, no matter who the hell we were. So the whole mindset has changed, and people don't have to prove themselves in a negative manner.
Is he completely behind the scenes?
Josh?
Yeah.
You see Josh a lot, but he allows the football people to make football decisions. You know, you see him, he speaks to people, he's talking and he's you know, conversing with fans and things of that nature, but he's not the guy where when the game is going a certain way, he's going to walk down to the sideline. You know what I mean? And start standing right behind the coach. He is around, he's visible in the business aspect. But the people that are here to run football operations, they're running the football operations.
Brian Mitchell joining us here at 105.3 The Fan. Y'all won 7 of 8, dropped the last two. Did those two teams do anything different? Has the team maybe peaked already?
No, I don't think the team peaked. I think the Steelers game, they should have easily won that game. You know, they had two touchdowns dropped. In that game, they had about 6 drops total. They lose by 1 point. Scored 27 against the Steelers. The Eagles game, the offense couldn't get anything going. And going into that week, they talked about all these offensive linemen. 3 of the offensive linemen had 2 to 3 different injuries. Okay, they were on the football field. You know, once you're on the field, nobody cares about your injuries. The young kid in Coleman, he had an injury. He was setting very short, which I saw. And you can see Josh Sweat just coming off the edge, teeing off. And when your offensive line is banged up, everything is going to be suffering. Defensively, they played great. But if you can play great and your offense can help you out a little bit and keep you off the field, all of a sudden Saquon Barkley and them going to start to make some moves, and they did that late in that game.
B-Mitch, when you look at the way the Commanders have played defense this year, it looks like the running game has been the biggest issue for them to this point in terms of slowing down the rushing attack from other teams. Is that going to be the best mode of attack for Dallas, a team that has not really committed to the run at all this year? Are they going to have to commit to the run if they want a shot in this one?
I think teams that had good running games ran the ball effectively against them early. But for some reason, they changed that stuff in the second half, and it wasn't the same effectiveness in the second half. I don't know if somebody come in knowing what to attack and then they adjust But I feel if you could adjust the second half, you need to adjust a little sooner than the first half. But I think Dallas will have to do something like that. We've heard a lot of talk early in the year about the secondary. But I think Mike Sarensfield has come in and played very well. You know, Benjamin St. Juice is a guy who doesn't – like, he seems to be on the end of a bad play at the end of a game. But, hell, he plays great for the most part. He's had high PFF grades. So he just has to learn how to stop panicking down the stretch.
Brian, what was your opinion on the acquisition of Marshon Lattimore, and when's he going to get on the field?
Oh, I'm hoping he's on the field this week, but I love him. I've always loved the way he plays. Cornerbacks are those guys who go out there and, they boast a lot, but a lot of them don't want to deal with the physicality of the game. Marshon Lattimore is not that way. You look at the battles with him and Mike Evans down there in Tampa. Those guys go at it. And I think he is a guy who can take a number one receiver out of a game. He's a guy who can get under the skin of some of those bigger receivers who try to intimidate a defensive back. He's not going to be intimidated. So I love that move. And I'm just like, for me, he wasn't a move for just this year. He's a move for the next 2 to 3 years. So if he is not completely healthy, don't rush him on the football field, especially when you have a hamstring and you're a speed guy. If you have a hamstring, you're a speed guy, you go mess it up, you may be out the rest of the year.
Brian, how many times have you guys compared Jaden Daniels to RG3? Is it a fair comparison, or you already know that this is different and it's going to work out better?
I haven't compared him at all because I see a complete difference. Robert was a running guy. Who cares about Robert? Jaden is a guy who's a passer who doesn't mind running, and the dude cares about nothing but his team being successful. You know, I can see the total difference in them, but I can understand why people are going to sit up there and, compare them. You look at two Heisman Trophy winners, second, same pick. Both of them are brothers who run the football. You know, they're going to be compared, but when you look at them, they are two totally different people, and I think the makeup is totally different.
The great Brian Mitchell from The Fan in D.C. and our Odyssey station previewing the game on Sunday. It looked like you guys chose Dan Quinn over Belichick, and it looks like it's working out. What did you think of the hire in the moment at the time, and what are some of the other things that you've noticed about Dan Quinn and the way he runs things?
Well, I didn't even think Belichick was a person that was in contention. You know, I thought it was Ben Johnson or Dan Quinn. And I've always, you've been around me long enough, Sean. I don't want somebody that don't want to be here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you don't want to be here, to hell with you, bye. You know, and the people that want to be here, that's who you want. And as I was talking, when Adam Peters came in, everybody said, oh, we got the main guy now. We got the general manager. I said, well, whoever he hires, go with it. Because if he's that smart and he was the number one move you need to make, he came in, and they were trying to deal with Ben. Ben thought he was going to get a haul. He thought he was going to make $14 million, something like that. No, you're not going to make that. Not in the first try. So you get Dan Quinn, and all I hear about Dan Quinn, oh, man, he made it to the Super Bowl, they didn't win it. How many coaches make it to the Super Bowl and don't win? You know, the guy that was on the other side calling the plays, so he's been to 3 Super Bowls totally, and he hadn't won. And Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle,
You
know, and he's this year they're suffering, and people still praise him. So Dan comes in, and then all of a sudden when the coaches came in, and I talked with Adam, and he was like, look, these guys came because of him. And as I talked to some of my friends that were hired on his staff, they all came because of him. So I was cool with it. You know, hell, at least he made it to a Super Bowl. How many people over the last few years have watched it can say that about?
Brian, you know players then. You obviously know players now, being around them and covering them. Do you think that a Bill Belichick would it still work in today's league? Is Bill Belichick the perfect fit in Dallas with Jerry? What would be a hire here to replace McCarthy that would worry you?
Bill Belichick could still work in this league. He's just going to have to take ownership to be able to allow him to run and support it. You know, the only time that a coach of his caliber, those type of coaches where they're going to be in your face, they're going to demand stuff, the only time that doesn't work is when you don't have support from the front office and the ownership. Because if everybody says this is how it's going to be, what the hell are the players going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're going to follow suit. They're not going to be – if you can run around the coach and go to the owner or you go to the GM or whatever, yes, it'll get a little fractured. But if everybody supports one way, hell, you have to do that or you can get the halfway. You know, I think people want to win. Bill will get instant credibility, but how many owners can allow Bill Belichick to come into the building, and when he becomes instantly the man. I don't care if they own the team or not. If Bill is running your franchise, Bill's the guy because he doesn't want you around. You need to step away, sit in your box, do your stuff, but I'm going to run the football operations.
So do you think players would prefer to play for a former player?
A lot of players will. You know, if the former player has shown he's a leader, yes. If the former player has been a damn dope all this time, nobody want to play for him. Just like you don't want to play for – see, Coach Gill never played football. You know, he wasn't a former player in the league. Andy Reid played football when he was young. He wasn't a former player in the league. But those guys understand, I'm going to listen to you, but I'm gonna treat you like a man. A lot of these coaches who haven't played, they want to just act as if they're bigger than the game. And I think when you start doing that, whether you're a former player or not, players are going to just dismiss you. They're not going to listen to you.
Former running back Brian Mitchell joining us now, the host of B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. All right, so you talked about how, you know, Jaden Daniels uses his legs and he uses them effectively and it's been a weapon for them. The first 5 weeks of the season, he was averaging like 12 carries a game, 60 yards. He scored 4 rushing touchdowns. Team was 4-1. In the weeks since then, his carries have plummeted. Teams are, it feels like, forcing him to play from the pocket more. Washington's 3-3 in those 6 weeks. Even though you feel like he's got the ability from within the pocket, does he still need to have that threat with his legs in order to be consistently successful?
Well, I think if you are a guy who can run, you need to always have that threat because it makes things a lot easier. It loosens up things for you. But I think what Jaden did, once Jaden was starting to listen to everyone that said, you need to go down. You need to protect yourself. You need to go down. And when he went down against the Panthers, he was running with a guy behind him. If he had just stiffed the guy and kept running, I don't think he hurt his ribs. But he tried to go down, and the guy was right there, and the guy fell on him and hurt his ribs. Once his ribs got hurt, now everybody's telling him, protect your ribs. So you're a little hesitant to run the football. And I think once that pain threshold leaves, he goes back to who he is. I don't think he's going to change completely his game, but I understand why over the last few weeks. But you need to have that. You need to have that running. And I think also he missed Brian Robinson 2 of those weeks. Brian Robinson is key. When Brian Robinson is playing and you can't stop the run, you're in trouble. And then if you can't stop Brian, then you're going to have to start committing more people to the inside, and then Jaden has the edge all by himself.
Brian Robinson is a beast. When I sit here,
oh, he's hardcore, bro.
Dang.
I love that dude.
Who's the best team and who's the worst team in the East?
Best team in the East right now, I would say, is the Eagles.
Okay.
The worst team is the Giants. The Giants are confused. Let's be real, dude. You honestly, man, don't let that guy go to Philly. I'll be sick. And you let him go to Philly. And then you were fighting for – you basically told Daniel Jones we didn't want you in the beginning of the year. They were trying to get every quarterback they can get. And then the season starts. Now you're going to say, oh, tell Daniel Jones, oh, we're going to bench you. They're only benching him because they don't want to pay him. He has an injury settlement, but they're paying $29 million if he gets injured. You know, and now they go to – they don't know if they're going to Luck or Lock or DeVito. I mean, either one of them is still trash, so who cares?
Is this going to be a beatdown on Sunday? Another beatdown that the Cowboys suffer? The spread right now is about 10.
See, I'm a different mindset. I'm a former player, and I know every time we went into a game, we're supposed to roll somebody. It doesn't happen that way, especially if it's a rival. You know, fans think that way. I don't think that way. I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm serious.
Is this still Dallas week, or are we so terrible that it's lost some luster?
Well, I think it lost luster because Dallas is always the better team coming here.
Yeah.
So right now, the people that have been quiet for all these years, they better start yelling. It better be Dallas week.
Last one for you. Are Redskins and RFK both coming back?
RFK may come back. Redskins will never come back.
They going to stick with Commanders?
I don't know if they're going to stick with Commanders, but the Redskin name is gone. You know, everybody, you hear these people talking about all these people that signed this petition. You know how many people have signed the petition opposite of that? Probably 10 to 100 times more.
Wow.
So, listen, I understand the need and the want, but let me tell you one thing. When you talk to most players and you talk to them deep down inside, nobody plays for a name. They play for family pride. They play for team pride. They play for their teammates. You know, they pay you to go out there, and some of them play just for the money. But it's not that, oh, the name made me play harder. Nobody cares. When you're on the football field, you're in it.
Thank you, brother. Love you. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and I'll talk to you in a few hours.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
The great Brian Mitchell from The Fan in D.C. and Odyssey on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
When they say RFK is coming back, does that mean like the same location?
Yeah. They're like, they're getting approval to go back to that stadium site.
We already know RFK is coming back.
He's already here. Let's hook you up for turning it up. What if RFK, they didn't sell any of the bad foods?
And
you
it's
saw,
organic.
You saw RFK on the Trump plane with the McDonald's?
Yeah, with the Big Mac.
Yeah,
just like
quarter
pork.
Pounder.
Yeah.
Loops. And they're like, what is he doing right here? He looked like he wanted to jump out of the plane. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on.
That's right, Tolo's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053 will win two tickets to see Justin Timberlake on Friday, December 6th at the AAC. That's 877-881-1053.
Thank you, Chris Strong. In for a sick Peyton Russell, Babe Loffenberg, Cowboys color analyst, will preview his former team coming up at 8:40 this morning. Let's go local with Bobby Belt and the Neighborhood Watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Doctors poisoning IV bags. We got social media influencers in Dallas trying to have other social media influencers killed. There's a lot to talk about. Good news, too. A local high school will be participating in the Macy's Day Parade. So we got lots of different things to talk about. We're going to lead off first with, of course, we've been telling you guys where Pat Doney's going to be every week, our NBC5 DFW partner, our television partner. So he's got undefeated Coppell versus Lake Highlands this week. So Friday night, if you want to go see Pat Doney in the big game Friday night, it's Lake Highlands versus Coppell. He says Coppell has gone unbeaten in the regular season in back-to-back years under second-year coach Antonio Wiley, and Lake Highlands hasn't lost since September 12th, so he says it should be a good game. So go say hi to Pat at Lake Highlands versus Coppell.
I love NBC5 so much. You know why? I think they think I'm a part of management over here.
Oh, they do.
They're calling me to get. I mean, they're trying to give me TV time for Ultimate Frisbee. If anything is happening, like, can we record? You want to come in? You want to zoom it? Can you
Ultimate
get us
Frisbee
into the building for the other shows? I'm like, I have a boss. Like, hey, y'all can go through them, but. I love NBC5 so much. Could not have a better television partner.
We all know Sean really does run the building, though. And so they understand this one.
Oh, this one.
Yeah, this one. All right. Real quick, let's open with the positive news. Or let me see here. Chris is still doing calls, so we'll do the audio here in a sec. But first, we're gonna open with some positive news. Flower Mound High School, not Marcus High School, the superior of the two high schools in Flower Mound. But Flower Mound High School's marching band was selected as one of 11 school marching bands in the country to participate in the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade next Thursday. They are the only school in the state of Texas to participate in the parade this year. The parade caps off a great marching season that saw the band win Bands of America Super Regional and place third in UIL state championships. I did not know this, though. I knew last summer, essentially, that, or however long ago it was over a year ago, that I found out that they had been selected, and I was like, oh, they're going to be on, like, this upcoming Thanksgiving. I found out no, like, Macy's picks this like 14 months out before that. Like, you got to get all that stuff together and figure it out before they'll, you know, get it set up. You can't just go right in 2 months in advance. So they had 14 months to prep for this. I guess they got to fundraise and do different things so that they can get out there. Like, you've talked before about the trip to the Little League World Series, or whatever, where it takes all this fundraising that it takes.
Absolutely.
To get out there,
you got to do it. You got to fundraise because it's expensive. It's a week. It's like $2,000 a kid, and then you got to pay for your own. That's just to play it, and then you got to pay for your own hotels and everything. On top of that, it's quite expensive. Have y'all been to a Macy's lately?
No,
I have not.
I went to one like a year ago. I had to buy a suit for a wedding. Maybe it was a year and a half. It was barren wasteland.
Really? A lot of them are in malls, right?
Yeah, they're in malls, but like there's no. They got the new Macy's Market, which is like a smaller. It's a standalone, like they've got them in like...
They should have the parade through one of the stores so you actually see people in there.
Yeah, it really is amazing. They have enough empty space in those stores because the shelves are empty. At least they were when I went. The Macy's Market's cool. It's like a smaller store and it's standalone. Like I said, it's not in a mall, but I mean, I don't know how, like, who... I haven't been to a Macy's in about a year and a half.
So this is our Facebook community group post of the week. This comes from the city of Louisville. And yeah. It says, ladies, stay vigilant. Always, always, in all caps. It says, be aware of your surroundings. This was at one of the Louisville Walmarts. I believe this was the one on Main Street near 35. But this was an interaction. This woman was around shopping in the Walmart. And she said this guy was being creepy and sneaking up behind her and taking photos of her and her baby while she was shopping in the store. So she stopped him and she turned around and she demanded, you need to delete those and I need to see you deleting those.
Delete it.
I did, I promise you.
What's your name?
Zeus.
Zeus who?
Not Zeus.
What's your name?
It's her.
Huh?
Hold on, stop. This voice is enough to be thrown in jail.
Yeah.
What is going on with this?
What's he saying? Mumbling. He's saying that he can't get his name out. He's saying like, and she's like, your name's Zeus? And then he says, no. And he goes, Sam? Like, what's your name?
Sam.
Huh?
Sam.
Can I get security, please? Can someone please call security? Dude. This guy is following me. This guy is following me, taking pictures of me.
Why?
Delete it. He won't let me look at it because he says he has creepy things in his phone. Like, I'm in here with a chopper with my baby and you're taking pictures of my ass?
Now, what's interesting is on this post
the alarm?
He was trying to just like storm out of the store and he had stuff in his hand still. And so it set off.
She had like her own like mace alarm.
Yeah, mace alarm.
Man, if I could carry one of those with me, I'd be hitting them all the time just to draw attention to people.
People should actually, now that I think of it, carry like personal alarms like that.
It's not a bad idea. Draw attention. It's easier than, you know, yelling out. Just cause people to immediately look over.
Some people carry a whistle.
Now, here's the thing. Most people, obviously, most people saw this and said, yeah, this is awful. Yada, yada. There were one or two comments that I thought were very odd.
Nothing illegal.
No, worse. Why are you complaining about him taking photos and then you're recording a video of him and you're recording him and telling him that he needs to delete the photo? You're exposing his face. He didn't even publish you anywhere. So it's like, man, that feels like a stretch.
Yeah, it is a stretch.
It feels like you're tattling on yourself a little bit with that comment.
Yeah. I also think like, you know, like this guy very easily could have been using this material for other reasons.
Okay.
You know, we like if you take a photo of, say, look at what the hell this person's wearing. I don't have a problem with that. I have no problem with
that. Well, because you did it in the gym, didn't you? Or what? You were taking a picture of the screen and somebody thought you were doing that.
I was taking a picture of Dan Orlovsky's idiot rankings. But like, you know, the amount of like photos that like, you know, we send in our group chat, like, look at what this person's wearing.
Okay, but
you know, like that.
So you think it's okay to follow this woman around holding her child, just like doing a photo shoot?
Well, there's a difference between
you're bringing it up within the story.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there are certain times where it's okay, like, look at what this person's wearing or whatever. But
then why not show them? Like when she and then go, well, there's creepy stuff in my phone. Sorry, I can't show you the photos I was taking.
Well, you still
of
don't
you.
Want them to know you're doing it.
But you've been caught already. Yeah, so just show
it. You're caught. You're caught. Yeah. then you're cooked.
This is a stretch. You better call chop most things. This one's a stretch. I think this is not a Johnny Cochran defense. This is a poor one.
Sarah sent me a photo. Look at this girl's butt. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But if you get stopped and
you get stopped, you got a cop.
Then you just go,
you
all right,
say,
I was taking a picture. I thought you had
a photo here.
I thought you had a funny shirt or whatever. Yeah. Like whatever you're gonna say. At that point, you just turn around. Clearly, the resistance to even show the fault, like he was doing something wrong.
Context matters in this.
Yes,
this guy is creepy.
All right, so a Dallas doctor. We talked about this story a couple months ago. There was a doctor who was accused of tainting IV bags intentionally, resulting in the death.
This is crazy. Amanda knows this person.
Knows the doctor?
Oh, boy.
He used to go into a restaurant all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, so this Dallas doctor, he was convicted of poisoning IV bags that resulted in several patients' medical emergencies and the death of a fellow anesthesiologist. And he's been sentenced to 190 years in federal prison.
Yep.
Dr. Reynaldo Ortiz was sentenced Wednesday in Dallas. It was the maximum amount of prison time he faced in the case. Ortiz waived his right to appear in court for his sentencing, so victims and their families delivered impact statements only to the judge. In April, he was found guilty on all 10 counts. He had been a former anesthesiologist at Baylor Scott & White Surgicare in North Dallas. He was indicted in September 2022. This is one of those where... I get terrified of anesthesiology, period.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that, when you get your hospital bill for anything you do, that's the one that's usually, like, way up there as one of the highest charges. And they're always like, yeah, that's it's usually a different person completely because you get billed from, like, five different places.
Yeah.
And they had said that that's the one that can easily go wrong where you get dosed too much or do something else. But to intentionally just
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why. What is he getting out of it? Is he just a cold-blooded killer trying to kill people? Normally, with a lot of crimes, like, how are you benefiting? What are you stealing? What are you getting? You know, Choppy's, you know, cohort in the mall at least was, you know, trying to get something for his own pleasure. Maybe this guy's...
Cohort?
Yeah, or whatever. Fellow creeper. Whatever you want to call it.
See, you guys are completely misrepresented. I said that context matters.
And I think you want to fight. You want to fight? You just want to have a big fight right now? I think I can see it on you. I can sense it. You want to?
Are you being sensey?
No, I'm being real. Okay. We can if you want. You want
fight
to?
About what?
I don't know. You just look like
you're the one that came at me.
You look worked up. You look ticked off. Okay. You look frustrated.
Right. You're the one that came at me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, no. There's no. There apparently is no motive. This is just a.
Just wanted to kill people off.
They've never gotten one, and he refused to show up to like sentencing. So I mean, there's a lot of it where they just don't even have answers right now as to what he was doing. But he had actually. It had ended with the death of a fellow anesthesiologist throughout this, and so he ended up poisoning the bags of several different people. They said that a lot of these people had pre-existing conditions. Maybe this was like, so there's some thought that people are trying to wonder, is this just he was thinking he was either being compassionate to people or he was trying to do something to get access to organs or whatever. That it's all speculation, but there's not been any definitive reason as to why this had occurred.
So they find out they know he purposely did it on purpose.
Yeah. He was purposefully spiking the bags. All right, cool. A Texas social media influencer has been sentenced right here from Dallas for hiring a couple in Memphis to murder her rivals, her social media rivals in Mississippi. Ashley Grayson.
See, now you're getting something out of this.
Grayson, 35.
You get more followers.
She was sentenced after being convicted of a murder for hire plot. According to court records, Grayson ran a notable online business and got into an argument with a South Haven, Mississippi woman who ran a similar business. So she was like, you're encroaching on my territory. You're selling to my people. You know, you gotta know your limits. There's zones here. It's no different than the drug
jurisdiction.
Trade. Exactly. No different than dealing drugs or whatever. You got your little territories that you're willing to fight for. And that's what this woman was willing to do. Although the two had never met, Grayson accused the woman of creating fake social media profiles to criticize her business. Grayson went online as Ashley Massengill. Was the name that she presented herself as. She had amassed a loyal social media following and parlayed the audience into a multi-million dollar online course business. She built a reputation for flashing luxury cars, purchasing mansions, and making claims such as earning $1 million in 40 minutes online through her digital course blueprint. That sounds like total phony. But she was willing in August 2022 to reach out to a woman she had previously worked with in Memphis. And she had told her, hey, I've got a business opportunity for you and your husband. And when she contacted her back, she had asked that they would kill this woman and her ex-boyfriend for $20,000 each. So for each murder that she finished, she would get $20,000 for finishing the job. She was busted. She gets 10 years in jail for this one is all that
10?
The murder
That's
for
it?
Hire plot gets.
Seems low.
I know. The FBI and law enforcement began to investigate the case. And by July 2023, a grand jury had indicted them. But
what's the lowest money amount you would be offended over that you heard someone try to put a hit out?
Five. Man. For me, yeah. I can understand it being a very low figure.
If it's 20, are you like, okay, that's legit. I feel like
$20. I feel like some people would take $20 to get me out.
Yeah, I do too. Ooh.
Yeah. Like I feel like you would pay that $20 on some days. But no, the most amount I feel like
I just got a Venmo for 50 from a KB.
At least six figures.
KB.
At least six figures. Like I want you to have to at least do $100,000 to take me out.
I'm not getting off the couch for less than $500,000.
No, I'm talking about you being offended finding out a price.
Yeah, I would be
like, what? You someone accepted $5,000 to take me out?
If it's under
it?
$10, if it's under $10,000,
because
I'm like, you could get a small business loan or something.
You don't need to kill me.
You don't need to kill me. There are so many other fraudulent ways to get that money.
Neighborhood Watch every Thursday at this time during the commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. Why was Dak Prescott recently brought to tears? Next.